Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of Journey with Surah Al-Hajj. We've done a lot of, you know, pit stops and journey stops, and we've learned a lot throughout these whole episodes, a whole series of episodes, inshallah. So what are we going to learn about today, inshallah?
And the next ayat is a complete shift.
Subhanallah.
And in one way, it's a complete shift. And it's, remember, right at the beginning, we spoke about how the scholars differed whether this was a Makki surah and a Madani surah.
Yeah, we said it was like a mix.
Yeah, we said, you know, it's a mix because you've got topics from the Makki period and topics from a Madani period. We're about to enter into one of the topics from a Madani period. When I ask you, when you think about the seerah of the Prophet and what happened in Medina, what's the overwhelming thing that comes to mind during the Medina period?
For me, it would be establishments of certain things that we do.
How did they get established?
Through rulings, rulings.
Rulings, okay. So your mind went there. Now, when I think about the seerah in Medina, all I think about is Badr, Uhud, and every other battle. This is battle after battle. You know, at that point, Islam has become a force to be reckoned with. And they come after the Muslims. So that's, if you think about Medina, it's battle after battle. It's a never-ending battle, basically, between those who want to destroy Islam.
So the rule changed a little bit then, because in Makkah, if I'm correct in thinking, when the time of, fighting back, it was only established, the ruling changed in Medina, right?
That's right.
So it wasn't in Makkah.
Yeah, the fighting back, the companions in Makkah were never allowed to fight back.
They were being tortured. I would not say fighting, I would say like protecting.
Protecting themselves.
Yeah, protecting themselves.
Fighting back in that sense is defense, isn't it?
Yeah, defending themselves.
Up until this, the verse that we're going to cover now, in the verses that we're going to cover now, it wasn't allowed for the Muslims to fight back at all.
Up until this point right now?
Until the ayah comes down. There was no fighting. In fact, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he mentions, as do others, that this is the first verse that we're about to cover now that is mentioned in terms of jihad that was ever revealed. And Allah knows best. So let's get to the verses. So we're going to look at verses 38 to 41 now, inshallah. So this is where Allah says,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم بغير حق إلا أن يقولوا ربنا الله إلا أن يكونوا ربنا الله ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لهدمت صوامع وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا ولينصرن الله من ينصره إن الله لقوي عزيز الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنكر ولله عاقبة الأمور.
Indeed, Allah defends those who have believed. Indeed, Allah does not like everyone treacherous and ungrateful. Permission to fight has been given to those who are being fought, because they were wronged, and indeed Allah is competent to give them victory. They are those who have been evicted from their homes without right, only because they say, "Our Lord is Allah." And were it not that Allah checks the people, some by means of others, there would have been demolished monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques, in which the name of Allah is much mentioned. And Allah will surely support those who support Him. Indeed, Allah is powerful and exalted in might. And they are those who, if we give them authority in the land, establish prayer and give zakah, and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and to Allah belongs the outcome of all matters.
So in these verses, the first thing that Allah tells us, and you imagine the state of the Muslims at the time, yeah, persecuted, tortured, they've lost their wealth, expelled, everything. Yeah? So you can imagine the dire situation they were in. And now Allah says to them, Allah is going to defend you. Allah is fighting your cause. Allah is on your side. So yani, this can be read in two ways. Yadfa'u is one qira'ah, that Allah will push it all away. Allah will take care of it all. Okay, and in the qira'ah that we have in Hafs and Asim and others, this qira'ah means that, yeah, Allah is going to fight on your side. And the only reason why there's this interaction is because they are trying to oppress you. They are trying to stop Islam and stop the truth from spreading. And you guys are fighting back and defending Islam by trying to spread it. And then Allah is going to aid you and deal with them. So then, after making that statement, that yani, basically Allah has got your back. Allah is going to deal with
it. It's a confident vote.
Yeah, that's a yani. It's giving them that comfort that you're in Allah's hands and Allah's going to take care of it. Then Allah says, Allah does not like, so Allah hates. Who? These two characteristics here, and people who have these two characteristics. Now the characteristics are khawanin kafur. So it's not any person who commits just a single treachery, but someone who is always treacherous. So he's reached that pinnacle, that's them. Treachery is part of them. Okay, Allah hates this kind of person. Kafur, the opposite of shakur. Kafur, the ungrateful. Okay, the one who rejects the favors that have been given, doesn't ever acknowledge them. These two characteristics, a Muslim cannot have these two characteristics. Remember, these are the pinnacle of this and this is them. If you are like this, you're going to be a disbeliever. End of story. That's what Allah is saying. You can't be a Muslim while having these characteristics. So that's how Allah brings our attention to these fundamentals. You know, there's things that we have to have, that Allah's mentioned of characteristics, and there's things that we make sure that we stay away from. And we talked about truthfulness, we talked about lying, and this is another part of lying, which is always being treacherous, breaking your promises, not fulfilling your covenants. That, and the ingratitude, in opposition to the gratitude that every believer is meant to have. So then after this, Allah then continues, and this, the next ayah is the one that we were talking about, the first verse where the Muslims are now allowed to fight back. They're being oppressed, they're being attacked. So Allah says, they have been given the permission by Allah to actually retaliate, defend themselves, protect themselves with even fighting, بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا, because they have been oppressed. So now Allah gives them the all clear that they can fight back. Notice here, I said can. What's the difference between can and must?
Well, okay, so someone can refrain from, well, they can defend, which means they can choose not to as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not an obligation yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not an obligation yet. This is their choice. Because at the end of the day, why were they not allowed to fight back in Makkah?
I don't know.
Take a guess. You got all the Quraysh there. Were the Muslims
minority? I think
they
would have been slaughtered if
they did exactly.
It.
At that time, if they had fought back, Quraysh would have taken their weapons, lined them all up, executed the lot of them. Okay, it wouldn't have made sense. The harm would have outweighed the benefit. Yeah, maybe a few lives would have been saved at some points, but the bigger picture would have been Quraysh would have come together with all their weapons, their army, and actually slaughtered all the Muslims.
So our ancestors, our predecessors, they sacrificed a lot at that time.
They sacrificed their lives.
They didn't do nothing. They were just being patient. They held back.
Exactly.
So now today we can sit here, I would say, in comfort and worship Allah.
100%. Yani, we're sitting here in a beautiful, lovely, huge masjid like this. AC on in the hot summer. And we're relaxing here. But the reason we get to relax and yani, the deen for us, Islam for us, is on a plate, easy, is because they sacrificed everything they have to actually carry the deen to us. Okay, so here Allah acknowledges you are being oppressed and now I give you permission to fight back. And some of the Muslims wanted to, but they were told by the Prophet ﷺ they cannot at that time in Mecca. So now they're given the permission. Right? So this is one of the topics being raised here, which made some of the scholars think this is a Madani surah. Okay? So then Allah says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. And Allah is all capable over giving them victory. Allah is going to give them victory. Allah is going to support them. Then that's even increased. Okay, so that feeling, they get further comfort and further acknowledgement. These are the people that have been driven out of their homes without any justification. Except, why did Quraysh drive the Muslims out of their homes in Mecca?
Because they said, La ilaha illallah.
Yeah, that's it. They didn't say anything else. They didn't abuse anyone. They didn't rob anyone. They weren't despicable people. No, they were the complete opposite. They were the best of people, with the best of manners. And helping everyone, the needy, the poor, anyone that wanted it. Okay? The only reason Allah mentions here, they've been driven out of their homes and expelled, is they said, رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ.
So at that time, the pagans didn't have an issue with adding to the many idols and gods that they had. But their biggest issue was taking all of that away and going to one God.
Yeah, that was their biggest issue. You cannot take away the status quo that we have set. Because in establishing Allah as the only Lord to be worshipped, that changes all the power structures in that whole society. And that's the biggest crime anyone can ever commit. How dare you challenge our power and try to take it away from us? Because who does power belong to after that? Allah and His Messenger. So the challenge was very real for them. And that's why they couldn't accept it. So then Allah continues, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. He says, if we weren't to create people to push back against others, then what would happen? You would have the destruction of monasteries, of churches, of synagogues, of masajid, of the places where prayer is established. All of this would be destroyed unless we had people to stand up for these places. And then, these places are where Allah's name is mentioned most. And the last things that were mentioned was the masajid and the places where salah is established. And then Allah finishes the verse by saying, Allah will give victory to the ones who give His deen victory, and Allah is all-powerful, mighty and majestic.
Sheikh, we're going to stop here inshallah. We're just going to go for a quick break. Brothers and sisters, please join us straight after the break where we will take a lot more lessons from the verses we've just heard on Journey with Suratul Hajj. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back inshallah. Sheikh, so we ended the verse, the last verse, and he was talking about, the Muslims are now given the permission, they can protect themselves against the oppression they already have been facing since Makkah. So now...
And then the verse kind of went on as well to say why. Because Allah made it very clear that if the pushback doesn't come, then there's going to be corruption in the world. No one would be allowed to worship Allah. And Allah mentioned all of the places where people turn to worship Allah. He mentioned monasteries. Yeah, the monks go there. He mentioned the churches. Yeah, that's the Christians, they go there. He mentioned the synagogues. Well, salawat, one of the meanings of that is the synagogues. And then he mentioned wa masajid. Yani the masajid in which Allah is mentioned frequently.
So these are the places that were mentioned at a time, at one stage at its time, there was worship of Allah, monotheism, right?
Yeah, remember, this, if you look at all of these, right, monks, Christian, aren't they? Churches, Christians, synagogues, Jews, Ahlul Kitab. So you've got Ahlul Kitab are mentioned here, the revealed religion. So that which Allah revealed to mankind, although it has been corrupted. Right? So these things were established, in essence, first and foremost, to remember Allah. Mm. Then their religions got corrupted. And then Allah sent Islam to revive everything that had been hidden that was to remain, and to abrogate that was
so
that which was
would have been right
remain.
In thinking that at that time when the revelation came to the people of the book, the Ahlul Kitab, right? Would it be right in thinking that even they were persecuted by their people when they were calling to the oneness of Allah.
Remember, when Islam came, just before Islam came, because the hadith tells us that at that time, the majority of these religions had turned away from the teachings, the essence of their religions. Yeah, so Allah hated them. Okay, مَقَتَهُمْ. And he hated the Arab of them and the non-Arab of them because they had turned away from the Tawheed of Allah, what He sent down. And you devoting yourself purely to Allah. They turned to idol worship and worshipping people and saints and all kinds of stuff. So Allah then sent down the Prophet ﷺ to teach them how to draw close to Him properly, as He had revealed in other religions. But now, the perfection of it all with Islam. So now, Allah mentions this, and then He makes the point, Allah is going to aid those who aid Allah, meaning give strength and promote His deen and His orders and His prohibitions. Those who stand up for that, Allah is going to give them victory. And then He mentions that He is لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ, that He is the mighty, He is the majestic, He is the all-powerful. No one can stand in His way. So Allah establishes that before He then says what the people He empowers actually end up doing. So this is, again, you know that scale that we talked about, how to weigh up where you are and where you stand with Allah? He said, right, أَلَّذِينَ إِمَّا كَنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, if we establish them in the earth, this is what they do. Number one, أَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ, they establish the prayer.
That's the first thing.
Number one. Any Muslims go to any new place, the first thing they have to do is establish the prayer. How do you establish the prayer in a place?
Well, this is similar to what Ibrahim did, right? When he left his wife and his baby, the first thing he made dua for was for them to establish their prayer.
Brilliant. Brilliant link there. Okay, so the first thing he asked for when he left them there in Makkah, لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, I left them there so they could establish the prayer. Likewise, that any Muslims who go to any new place, the first thing they have to do is establish the prayer. But then what action do you do to cause the prayer to be established?
I build a place.
Or right, build a what?
Musalla or masjid,
right,
or something.
That's the first thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, the Prophet, what does he do when he goes to Medina? One of the first actions he does is build the mosque.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is one of the first priorities when Muslims go to any place. Because unless you do that, you can't establish the prayer. Yeah. So that in itself, even in our homes, okay, if we move to a new house, what's the first thing we should do then?
Find the Qibla.
Yeah, find the Qibla and then have a place, even some of the fuqaha, the jurists, they talk about establishing a part of your house as that's where we're going to dedicate, especially for the women folk, this is their musalla, this is their prayer place.
So this is like our compass, right? Our direction. It's our it's our pinnacle focus point in our life.
Exactly.
Salah.
Our salah. So then that's the first thing he mentions. And then after that, what do you think is going to come after establishing salah? What always comes together? After giving,
establishing salah.
I kind of gave it away then.
And then, giving
the zakah, isn't it?
Zakah, so, yeah.
وَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاءِ, in this verse, وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Now again, these are the establishing of the fundamentals of our religion,
okay,
of our lives. So it was prayer, charity, and the next fundamental that so many times people think is just an extra, an add-on. Only some people are going to do it. Order the good and forbid the evil. This shows you Allah's linking it with prayer and zakah. Yani these two things are obligations upon everyone. Likewise, is the ordering the good and forbidding the evil in your capacity, but it's an obligation for everyone.
If you think about it, how can a person establish the prayer and pay the zakah and not forbid the evil?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, does it? Because you're forbidding an evil just by praying.
Yeah.
You're saying no to shirk, yes to devoting yourself to Allah. When you give zakah, you're saying no to the evil of ridiculing and abandoning the poor and the weak and the destitute, and you're saying yes to the good. Right? Those actions dictate that you're going to stand around while evil and ugliness and
letting this
putrid
prevail,
things are happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't. You have to stand up for what you believe in. This is good, enjoying it. This is evil, tell people to stay away from it. Because as a believer, you have to want good for others. So this becomes mandated here. And then Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Allah controls everything that's going to happen. The final consequence, the final end, the destination is only with Allah. Allah is in control. Pure control only belongs to Allah, and He's going to make these things happen. So in this verse, we understand that, you know, us as Muslims, whenever we're feeling down or we're feeling that, you know, the power is not with us, it's with someone else, and we want to establish ourselves as a community, as a people, as a civilization, this is the root of it. And it is the establishment of the prayer, it's establishing the institution of looking after the weak in society. If we do these things, and we enjoin the good and forbid the evil, Allah has already promised that He's going to establish us in the earth. It's not as, you know, people think that, you know what, to get forward in life, yeah, to progress, to have what they term as be a civilized person, we have to abandon our ideals and values and adopt a non-Muslim, disbelieving worldview, completely foreign to Islam. In fact, Allah says this is the complete opposite of how to get establishment in the earth.
Well, to be honest, even they, the ones that call, you need to follow this way of the life in this world, even they adopt a lot of the establishments that we do about good in their own life. For example, is it true that when we the child benefit that we come to know now was first established within Islam as a good?
Yes, people link that back to what Umar ibn Khattab did for the Muslim children back in his khilafah. You're talking about soon after the Prophet was passing away. Yeah, so these institutions, really, the welfare of society, whoever's in charge has to do this, because if they don't, why should the people listen to them? They'll revolt. But why do we do it? It's not out of a materialistic benefit that comes to us. You know, we'll keep our seats and power. It's not because of that. It's because we're dealing with Allah through His creation. If we do this good, then it's not for the people itself. It's for Allah.
So if we took that example, we enjoined the good, and because of this good, there could have been other evils that could have happened. Because if this person didn't get the benefit, they didn't do this, then they could have turned to crime, they could have turned to stealing, they could have turned to a lot of other things. So within that, that's forbidding the evil and enjoining good, correct?
Yeah. Within that is minimizing all of the harms that can come and consequences. You know, we can't perceive what the evil consequences are many times, because human beings are limited. Allah is limitless.
So, and this element is as important as what Allah has said here, establishing the prayer and paying the zakah.
Yeah, this is another fundamental of Islam, which we've only touched on now in these verses. Order the good and forbid the evil. And if you look in Hajj, you find people. People don't stay quiet. You're doing something and it's odd and you're different. They step in and they say, brother, sister, you're in Hajj, you're meant to do this. You know, I remember that time, we mentioned it in a previous episode, where that kicked off, basically. People are trying to get on the buses to go to Arafah, Muzdalifah, rather. And then that brother started throwing punches. Yeah, yeah. They didn't leave him to it. His people and the other people, they grabbed him and said to him, brother, what are you doing? Calm down. This is Hajj. You're going to break your Hajj. You don't stick quietly. You help out. You stop the wrong from happening.
The reason why I'm smiling is because I know the Muslims there would not let somebody break their Hajj.
Yeah,
because they would want to be protected themselves if they got into that kind of situation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing. If you look, if everyone is doing this, you remember back when we were young, I'm still young though,
Alhamdulillah.
Don't think I'm too old.
And I'm glad you said we. So
Alhamdulillah. When we were growing up, everyone could say to the kids, you know what, don't do that, that's wrong. And what did that do for the whole of society?
Well, I know what it did for me, subhanAllah.
What did it do for you?
It gave me a straight line to follow, rather than being so tempted to follow the other lines.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, there was a lot of different lines that I could have followed.
Yeah.
But alhamdulillah, because of my elders, and not just directly my family, extended people in the community.
Yeah, exactly. So that preserves and protects the whole of the community.
SubhanAllah.
And when you leave it, like now, you can't even speak to someone else's kid anymore. Even some of your own relatives, they don't accept it anymore. They don't accept you enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And look at the evil in society now.
SubhanAllah, may Allah protect us from this. May Allah give us the ability to correct ourselves and our community as well, inshallah.
Ameen, ya Rabbi.
Sheikh, we're going to stop here because we have come to the end of this episode. There is a lot more to take, inshallah. So brothers and sisters, please, please do continue this journey with us in the next episode. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.